الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون، فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين، فقربه إليه فقال ألا تأكلون. صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the beautiful things that we have in this deen is that it really addresses us on how to live in every aspect of our life. And that's not a small thing, because one of the most difficult things in life is knowing how to live life. You know, ask any parent, you know, what is the thing that's most difficult for you, or what is the most challenging part of parenthood? And they say, well, it doesn't come with a manual. Right? It doesn't come with a manual. You don't know what to do. What is the most challenging part about marriage? Oh, it doesn't come with a manual. You don't have to figure everything out on yourself. And more often than not, when people, you know, try to figure these things out on their own, we make mistakes. And that's the beauty of divine revelation, is that it allows us to understand how to deal and how to interact with different aspects of our reality in the way that is going to be the best and the most beautiful way to interact with those aspects of our reality. So, you know, it just so happens that, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend, and on Memorial Day weekend, many people, you know, they like to have barbecues, and people are visiting families, and they're visiting each other. And, you know, what does Islam say about this? What is it? Does Islam have any guidance about how to deal with our guests? Well, in fact, it does. Right? Actually, just one of the very big concepts that exists within the deen is on how to interact and how to treat our guests. Now, there's the story of the angels that came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Jibrail, Mikael, there was another angel as well, and they had come and visited Ibrahim alayhi salam in the form of beautiful young men. And this story is repeated many times in the Quran. In one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ, when they entered upon them, meaning the angels in the form of human beings, entered upon Ibrahim. فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا, they said salam. قَالَ سَلَامًا, he said salam. قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ, this was a people that he didn't recognize. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينَ فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ أَلَىٰ تَأْكُلُونَ. And we'll talk about what actually happens afterwards. But based on, you know, this story, scholars in the past, the like of Imam Hanbal, he was of the opinion that it is wajib to host one's guest when they come and, you know, descend upon one's house. You know, when a person is traveling through and someone comes and visits you, someone is your guest, he felt it that it was something which is not an optional thing. This was something which was a necessary thing. And he gave a legal ruling in the deen that was something that was obligatory. Right? So he ruled it as wajib. And, you know, without a doubt, this is something which was, you know, really central within the deen, to honor our guests. So much so, like, I mean, look in the Quran, when Musa alayhi salam, and it's not, it didn't start with the Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wasallam nation. You know, it was actually before that. It was before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent. Look as far back as Musa alayhi salam. Right? So we saw Ibrahim, but look at Musa alayhi salam when he was going with Khidr, and قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِي صَبْرًا قَالَ لَا تُؤَاخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتُ وَلَا تُرْحِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِي عُسْرًا فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ أهل قرية استطعم أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجد منها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقام. قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا. قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك. In the story when Musa عليه السلام was walking with Khidr, there's many strange occurrences that occurred, right? And one of the things is that فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا على أهل قرية استطعما. They both were going and they came upon a قرية, upon a town. And they asked for food, right? And the people of the town, they refused to take them as a guest, to host the guest. And after that, Khizr alayhi salam, he took, and there was a wall that was about to fall down, so he erected the wall back. And Musa alayhi salam, he saw this as very strange, right? فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا فَوَجَدَ مِنْهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَنْقَضَ فَأَقَامَ قَالَ لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَخَذْتَ عَلَيَّ أَجْرًا. He said, if you want, you could have taken some type of wages to fix their wall. First of all, they did something which is completely against what was the understanding, the social milieu of what good behavior was. Because how could you even imagine that a guest come to you and you refuse to feed them? Right? It was like something which was so strange. So he said that if you're going to fix, now you're fixing their wall, right? And he knew that he shouldn't ask any questions. But imagine how much of an impetus there was and how much of curiosity there was to ask that question, because this was really a strange situation, right? That no guests come and you don't host them. So the first principle to bear in mind is that when we have guests, right? When we have man kana, first principle to bear in mind is that we should honor our guests. Right, and this is a part of the deen. This is not a cultural thing. It's not an Asian thing. It's not an Arabian thing. It's an Islamic thing. Right? This is something that we've learned from the prophets. And this is something that we learn from the deen, that we should honor our guests. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ Then let him honor his guest. When a guest comes to a person's house, a person should make as many different niyas, as many different intentions as they can. And the more intentions you make, inshallah, the more thawab that you can get from that interaction. One intention that we can get is that we should make intention that we want to please Allah. Because whoever pleases his brother, then they will also please Allah. This is from the general principle of, or general niyyah that we can make in general, إدخال السرور في قلب المؤمن. That to enter happiness into the heart of another believer, this is something which is a niyyah that we should actually make when we do the nice things for others, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters. So that's number one. The number two niyyah that we can make is that this is sunnah. Right? We're reviving a sunnah of Rasulullah. Number three niyyah that we make is that there's barakah in ijtima. When Muslim brothers and Muslim sisters get together, there's a barakah in that. Right? There's blessings in that. And so to attain the barakah from that, we should actually make this intention. I know, for example, our principal, when he used to be in South Africa, on Thursdays, he would fast, subhanAllah, you know, a very righteous individual, but he would never open his fast by himself. Right? He would always grab some student, and he would open their, who was also fasting in the madrasa, and he would open the fast with them. Right? And this was like the Abrahamic tradition, alayhi salatu wasalam, that, you know, when you eat there, you would have a guest with him. And the other, you know, one of the benefits, and if a person says that, well, you know, if I have, the reason that, you know, you even have to talk about entertaining guests is, this is something which is really entrenched in cultures, for example, in Pakistan, India, Saudi Arabia. But in America, we live in a very self-centered, you know, environment where we're so busy and we have so many constraints and so many things we're juggling that sometimes when people come by and, you know, we have guests, then it's more of a burden than a boon. Right, so people start feeling resentful that, oh, why do they have to come? You know, I have so many things to take care of, and this is the one weekend I have, and then, you know, I had to mow the lawn, and now I have to take care of my guests. And it's just sort of a sign of, you know, American culture that it doesn't have that Islamic tone of really honoring our guests. But understand that if you honor your guests, the first person who's going to benefit is we ourselves, right? We're the first person who benefits. The person who honors their guests, it is, you know. Is they're going to be, what is it? Like there's like a million, 1 million blessings, or 10 lakhs, like a million blessings, and they're forgiven a million sins, and they'll be raised 1,000 darajat, and they'll be fed from three jannas, right? Jannatul Firdaus, Jannatul Khuld, and Jannatul Adn. So subhanAllah, you do a little bit for some, and who is this for? This is for the person, not necessarily only for the person who hosts a guest, but for someone who fulfills the need of his brother. And fulfilling a need of your brother can be something which is so small as, you know, making the food, or, you know, giving the preferred food that the person, the brother or sister, likes, and, you know, you're fulfilling a quote-unquote a need of them. So something so small, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives such a tremendous reward. And part of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to make excuses for us and to enter into Jannah. And this is a recurrent theme in the deen, something to talk about on a different day. When someone has a guest, we know that on the first day we should actually go out of our way a little bit, right? Make something more fine and very nice meal for the guest, and you don't necessarily have to initially worry about extravagance if you can afford it, right? No, you don't have to go beyond your means and put something on mortgage, as the unfortunate custom is now when it comes to marriages and whatnot. That's not what's being said, but if you have someone who's coming to your home, then the first day you make something nice, right? And then hosting is for up to 3 days, and after that, if you want to host and do anything for your guests, then it'll be considered sadaqah, right? But the first day, at least the first day and night, it's good to do something nice for your guests. The second thing is when the guests come, that you should be quick in serving them, right? Be quick to serve them food. And this, we get this from the Quran as well, right? فَمَا لَبِثَ أَنْ جَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيذٍ. That Ibrahim, he didn't even wait. He ran quickly and he got the food for them. And from this, the ulama have extracted that you should be quick in serving. Right? It's quick in bringing the food out. The next etiquette, that the adab that's talked about when we talk about guests, is first you should give some fruit, right? And then you bring the main meal. So you have a little bit of appetizer first, and then you bring the main meal. And this is also derived from the Quran. Right? From where? وَفَاكِهَةٍ. What is, how is the serving in Jannah? وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ. Right? And fruits from مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. And meat that they desire, from that which they desire. So what does Allah mention first? He mentions first that the fruit comes, and then what comes after that? Comes the meat. So the main course follows the fruit. So that's one etiquette that we can do, that we can also revive. The story actually goes that Ibrahim, was in front of him. There were some guests that came, so he really went all out. And the guest said, Abu Ishaq, you've gone so out of your way, right? This isn't just extravagance. And he replied, he said, there's no extravagance when you're hosting a guest. And this was the good heart that, the people, the generosity that they had in their hearts when they were serving on their guests. Some other etiquettes we actually gain from the other ayah, from Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the angels came to him. It's so deep, the ulama went into these ayahs. What is it? إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاعَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. So he went and came with a fat animal. So the idea was that he went and saw, what is the best thing that I own, and I want to offer that to my guest. Right, so he didn't. Most times when people come, we say that, oh, let's keep the good stuff for our own family, and right, and we'll give them the leftovers, right, or something that we're not going to use because it's going to go for waste anyway. But that wasn't the attitude that Ibrahim alayhi salam had. His attitude was, let me give the best of what I have, right, the best of what I have to my guest. So that's one etiquette. Then after that, he did it quickly. That's another etiquette. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِ. Right, and then he made the food, he advanced the food to them. So the ulama even comment about this. It's in the Mukhtasar of Tafsir ibn Kathir, actually, that he made the food go close to them. He didn't bring the food, put it on the table, and he said, come here, right, and come close to the food. He brought the food to them, meaning that he looked out for the comfort of his guest. Right, so much so that he advanced the food. He was looking out for his guest and looking out for their comfort. And then after that, when he even wanted them to eat, right? He said, he didn't say, no, kul min hadha min fadlik, or kul min fadlik, eat from your, kindly, nothing like that. He said, ala ta'kulun. Even the thirst, or the way in which he asked, there was gentleness in it, there was kindness in it, there was a beauty in the way that he asked. He said, ala ta'kulun. He said, will you not eat? So one way is ordering someone else, right? When you order someone else, you're on top of them, you're sort of telling them what to do. But a much higher etiquette is to ask a question, and in the question you allude to what you want them to do. So he said, "Ala ta'akulun," will you not eat? Right? He didn't say eat, he said, will you not eat? So asking them a question, and then of course then the person will say. So that shows that how much we should care about the people who come, that not only it's what you're serving them, but even how you serve them. And in even the words that you use with them to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel honored, to make them feel valued, right? To make them feel valued. If you are comfortable with someone, very comfortable with someone, and you have that type of relationship, you can even tell the host that I prefer this food and I prefer that food. And this is actually established from all the way back. You know, Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, one time he went to visit Za'farani. And when he went to visit him, you know, he would usually make a list and he would give it to the servants and the servants would prepare the list. So Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, one time he added something to the list, right, from his own side because he was going to go and visit. So, you know, Za'farani, rahmatullahi alayhi, he saw an extra dish. So he said, where did this come from? So he called the servant, this servant girl, and he said, where did this extra dish come from? And she said that Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he added it to the list. So he said, are you serious? He said, bring me the list, and I want to see it myself. So he went and he looked at the list, and he said, true enough, that's Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi's handwriting. It's not my handwriting. And he got so happy. He got so happy that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi felt so comfortable that he would, you know, add something to the list. He said that from this day you're free, right? He freed his slave girl. He said that, you know, you just go free. Meaning this was a sign of joy when two people used to feel so comfortable. You know, we say in Urdu, bay takalluf, with each other, right? When they do away with the formalities that we usually attend to in normal life and just feel like brothers and sisters. Right? That, oh, I'm coming over, so on and so forth. And this lack of formality was also something which was the mark of the Sahaba. Right? Now, sometimes some people, they're so scared that if someone comes over, I have to do this and 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 this, that they just don't invite anyone. Right? Or they feel shy from inviting someone. This is not the way of the Sahaba. Right? Like, before the Sahaba, talk about Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam, one time he had invited someone to his house and he brought some barley, he kept it. He brought some vegetables, I think he had grown it in his backyard. He brought those vegetables and he put it in front of the person. Right? And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like vanity, right? Or he doesn't, and I believe the word was vanity. He does not like vanity, and if I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like, you know, like going, doing israf or going, you know, into extravagance, then I would have done it. But this is just something simple, and he would put it forward in front of the people. Same thing with, you know, the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that, you know, whatever there was at home, they would just make it available to their guests, right? They would feel very comfortable, and they would have this atmosphere. And this is something that I really learned from my teachers, you know, the mashayikh who used to teach us hadith, that this attitude of not, you know, not being too formal, just being simple about things, you know, being real, right, being sincere, because there's a certain amount of fakeness that people develop in society, you know, just being simple and real. They just come over, here's some water, and, you know, and they put some dates in front of you and whatever they had at home, and they wouldn't feel shy and they say, oh, you know, what will they think about me, and they, no, there wasn't this judgmentalism. It was just very easygoing, and relationships were pure, and relationships were more real when you just dealt with people like that, right? You didn't have to go, like Ali radiallahu anhu, one time he was invited someplace, and he said, I will come, but I will only come on three conditions. Right? I only come on three conditions. And what are those three conditions? One condition was that you'll not go to the market, right? I mean, don't go out of your, you don't have to go and do anything extra shopping, right? Just whatever is at home, you serve it. Number two, he said that don't hoard anything in your house, right? So at the same time, he's also feeling so comfortable with the other person. He says, you better not keep anything back. Whatever's in your home, I'm going to eat it, right? And then the last thing, he said, don't make any difficulty on your family. Right? No, make any difficulty on your family. So this was the type of, you know, very calm, very informal, you know, attitude that the Sahaba had with each other. You know, and it wasn't People didn't take things too hard. For one time, a Sahabi, Rasulullah saw him, and I think there was something on his clothes. And he said, "What happened to this?" And he said that, "I got married." So what did Rasulullah say? He said, "You got married and you didn't send me an invitation?" No, he didn't. He was Rasulullah, right? He was the head of the city. He didn't sit and complain that, "Oh, you didn't invite me to your walima." And this is things that people literally have fights about, right? That you sent me an invitation, but my invitation was not as good as their invitation. Or you sent me an invitation, but you didn't also call me to follow up to see if I was coming. And people feel bad about this. No, the Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, he didn't receive an invitation, had no problem, right? No problem with it, right? There was just love amongst them. The other etiquette is that when you have guests, that when they're leaving, if you can afford it and it's not difficult for you, give them some type of gift when they're leaving, even if it's so small as a candy. Right, give them one candy, put it in the hand when they're leaving. They'll feel good about it. Or if you can't do that, straighten their shoes before they leave. If you cannot do that, then just walk them to the door. Right, walk them to the door. It's not that you just sit and say, "Okay, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, you be on your way." Right, walk them to the door, to the outer door of the house before they leave. This is one of our etiquettes that we have. Another etiquette is after they're done eating, you can even help them wash their hands. Right, help them wash their hands. This is a way of serving our guests. And when a person is invited to someone's house, you should not reject the invitation unless you have some type of Sharia excuse. Unless the Sharia prohibits it, you understand that sometimes you're busy and these type of things. But by and large, if someone invites you, you should go. Right, and Rasulullah used to accept the invitation of the people. And he was the head of the state, right? He was the head of the state. There are certain exceptions, though, right? Certain exceptions of invitations you don't have to accept. For example, if a zalim sends you an invitation, you don't have to accept that invitation. The story is, I think, of Zunnun Misri, rahmatullahi. One time, he was imprisoned by the king, and so when the king used to send him food, he said, "I'm not going to eat the food of a tyrant." But there was a pious lady who knew that he was imprisoned. So she said that she used to send him food, but he wouldn't eat her food either. When he was released, she asked him, she said, Dhunnun, he was a very righteous person. She said that, Dhunnun, used to send you food, why didn't you eat it? Or she tried to find out, and he said that, "I know that you're the one who used to send the food to me. But the food that you sent came to me in the saucer, right? In the plate of a tyrant, and I didn't even want to eat it because I had touched the plate of a tyrant." Right, this is how much they abhorred, oppression and dhulm being on any individual, and they didn't want to be accomplice to it in any way. The other situation, for example, if a person is an open fajr, right, if it's an open sinner, and also falls into that category, if you know that there's certain parties where there's going to be open sinning, right, open sinning, you should avoid it. If at all possible. If you know there's music, there's a mixed environment, men and women are sitting, then you should actually really seriously avoid it. And if you're from those people of the community, who we call qudatul nas, that the people sort of look up to you and you're sort of, they see you as a religious person, then you should, even if it's family, you should not attend. You should just boycott it. Because by you going to that, then the first thing that's going to happen is to say, "Oh, he has a long beard and he was there at that party. It should be fine, right?" And then one person, they keep on rationalizing it. You should just boycott it. It's very difficult, right? I understand it's very difficult, but that's how you set a precedent, right? To stop these type of things, you put a counter pressure. Those people who most of their wealth is from riba, right? You should avoid going to their house. Or whose wealth is gained from riba. Or those people whose wealth is gained from illegal means, most of their wealth is gained from illegal means, should not eat with them. Right? Because the food that they're getting, they're buying with illegal money. Right? Either from ripping other people off or deceiving other people, if a person has a liquor store or whatever, it's all unlawful gain. Right? And from that money they're buying food and then they're feeding you that food, right? From that unlawful gain. You should avoid that. If at all possible. So these were some of the general principles that I wanted to lay forth. This is a weekend that many people are going to visit others and, have guests or either be a guest at someone else. So from both the side of being a guest and from the side of being a host, these are some etiquettes that we should remember, that we should try to honor our guests to the best of our ability, because it's a benefit for us. It's a way to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a way to gain a tremendous amount of reward, right? Tremendous. We're talking 1 million blessings and 1 million sins forgiven and 1,000 darajat. And we talked about some of the things that we should do, right, in terms of even the way that we talk and bringing the food and what type of food we should serve, and how we should also balance that with being informal and not putting people into, you know, putting ourselves in a difficult situation, for example, by mortgaging something in order to, you know, taking a loan in order to, you know, feed another person or the like, right? And at this, and being simple and being sincere in the way that we serve, and in serving our guests, down to the fact how Anas bin Malik, you know, radiallahu ta'ala, and how he would, you know, bring the dish to before the guests so that he could wash their hand. I didn't mention that in the talk, but that's also there, right? So there's precedence for all these adab. This is the way of the prophets. This is the way of the sahaba. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the type of generosity and the type of love for our brothers that we can be proper hosts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us also to be amongst those people who have the ability to host guests and righteous people, right? That's one of the du'as that we make for people when we are hosted, right? أكل عندك أفطر عندك الصائمون وأفطر عندك أفطر عندك أكل عندك الأبرار وأفطر عندك الصائمون. أو كما قال, that may the people make open their fast. So if someone hosts you, there's different du'as that you can write. Allahumma at'im man at'amana wasqim man saqana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feed the person who fed us, and, you know, give us, give to drink the person who gave us to drink. There's different du'as that you can make. And one of the du'as is that may the people open their fast regularly at, you know, at your place, because if you open someone else's fast, you get the reward of their fast. And وَأَكَلَ عِنْدَكَ الْأَبْرَارِ, and may the righteous eat with you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those households where we are frequently visited by the righteous people of the community, and make it a source of blessing and growth for us. وَأَخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ